basically a business which is making luxury cars available to a pool of members, and they're getting new clients every month. And so some people who, you know, they can't afford to buy like a new Ferrari or Maserati, which is, you know, maybe like 400, maybe 500,000 Australian dollars, instead can just pay like a monthly membership fee and rent these cars.
Mm. 在澳大利亚呢，受到金融危机的影响，很多富裕的人呢，买名贵跑车的梦想呢，被暂时滞后了。但是现在呢，在澳大利亚有一个新的行业，就是租车公司。那么这种租车公司呢，专门租售这种名贵的跑车。And Australia's like this club, amid financial crisis, sales of luxury cars have fallen sharply, with Lamborghini, Bentley, and Maserati this year reporting sales down more than half from a year ago in the United States alone.Sales for Ferrari and Porsche are down 30%.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is a huge drop, right? We're looking at a 30% to 50% drop in luxury car sales. And so it just goes to show that these companies are being hit pretty hard as well. But at the same time, I mean, like, so you have these clubs which will purchase, you know, maybe anywhere from like 20 to 30 of these cars, and then basically rent them out to members. Well, it actually can help the sale of these you know, high class cars.
Mm. Luxury cars club have become a popular alternative to the costly hobby of owning, insuring, and maintaining high priced hot wheels, giving car enthusiasts easy access to the key of dozens of nice cars.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just so crazy because, like, with these kinds of cars, like, not only do you have to pay the price of buying the car, which is really expensive, but then, like, insurance is expensive, as well as just maintaining these kinds of cars can be very expensive as well, you know, because you have to go to, you know, special repair shops that have special parts, and these parts and maintenance fees and stuff like that gets to be really expensive. And so instead, people can just rent this car, and then, like, the club would be responsible for the insurance and the maintenance of the car rather than the owner.
Yeah, you know, the club has also started a super bike club, and it's currently looking into marine and aviation projects.
Yeah.
One person arrived in Melbourne recently said, waiting for me at the airport was an Aston Martin.
Yeah,
that's really cool, huh?
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's just so cool. I mean, you know, imagine getting picked up by an Aston Martin or a Bentley or a Rolls Royce or something. I mean, talk about fancy.
So you don't have to pay a lot of money to buy the car, because, you know, the money is going to be huge, and also insuring and maintaining the car is really going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah,
especially
exactly.
The oil price is getting higher and higher. So rent a car is maybe a good choice for you.
Yeah. And so one club member says that, like, he doesn't really have to worry about selling, buying, or looking after the car himself. All he has to do is turn up, it's there, and then he drives it, and when he's finished, he just gives it back. And so, like, this guy, he's owned 98 cars so far, and so basically it makes you know, being able to experience these kinds of cars much, much more convenient and simple, as well as a lot cheaper.
Speaking of, you know, this high quality things, you know, for now, many, I think some young people, they like, you know, high tech telephone, you know, cell phones very much. But in the future, no wallet, key needs, but mobile phones only maybe is possible. It seems that three things are indispensable in most people's daily life, like pockets or a purse, like keys, wallet, and phone. But in the not too distant future, you may be able to leave the wallet and keys away. So the mobile phone is starting a new life for now.
Yeah, no, this is really cool. And so, like, experts are starting to predict that maybe in about 5 years, where they're going to see, like, the death, you might say, of keys and wallets and stuff. Where, so, like, what they can do is they can use, like, this this technology. It's called like near range communications, and basically what it does is your cell phone can then, like, transmit to a receiver that's pretty close, like, and you can use this for, you know, financial transactions, you can use this for public transportation, you can use it to open your door, open your car, all sorts of stuff.
那么对于大多数人来说呢，每天我们出门必带的东西有钱包，有钥匙，有手机，但是呢，根据科学家的预测呢，在 未来的五年之内呢，手机将能够取代钥匙和钱包。因为呢，手机可以将来可能会有这样的功能，比方说电子付款，比方说开门，比方说坐地铁的时候刷卡。还有呢，就是身份确认等等各种各样的功能。Some analysts believe that within 5 years, mobile phones will be able to make electronic payments, open doors for you, access subways, click coupons, and possibly act as another form of identification.
Yeah, and so it's like in the States at least, in some other countries, we have this kind of technology already. Whereas like in some, you know, like on some roads,in order for motorists to use these roads, they have to pay a toll, maybe like $1, $2, or something like that. But the thing is, the problem with these things is it really slows traffic down. And so what they did was they set up one of these near-range communication devices where, like, you just put something in your car and you just drive through, like, a special, overpass, and it will automatically scan and then deduct the amount of the toll from your card.
Yeah.
And so instead of having to stop and you know,give someone cash, you can just drive through, and there's no problem whatsoever. And so they're looking to use a very, very similar kind of technology with cell phones. And so once people get these cell phones with this technology, they can then load up, like, bank information, personal information, security passwords, and all sorts of different things. And so instead of having to carry around a wallet and keys all the time, they can just have their phone.
Mm.So in the future, you don't need cash anymore. You don't need your wallet. It's really the end game here is that we can replace the physical wallet and all of the cash needs and the plastic that you are using today. So no credit cards?
Yeah.
The credit cards is very convenient. You don't take a lot of cash because some people, they, you know, have the habit of losing money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things. And so, like, even with credit cards and stuff, we'll see.We might be seeing that information on your cell phone. So in like no more cash, no more cards or anything like that. Just one device for pretty much everything.
So, what if the battery is dead?
Yeah, that's of course is the problem. But also we talked about this months and months and months ago.
Mm.
But they're coming up with like wireless electricity.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so maybe we'll see that as well as this wireless electricity. So we won't have to worry about dead batteries. Instead, like,you step on the subway and, you know, you get your phone recharged and I think that'd be really, really interesting. And so I think it's really kind of cool to see, like, how much advancement we're seeing in technology these days and how simpler things are becoming and how things are getting that much more convenient.
Mm. Well, speaking of fancy stuff, you know Mona Lisa?
Of course.
Mona Lisa has very, very mysterious smile.
Mm.
The charming smile of Mona Lisa has left a deep impression on people for centuries. Now, at the world-class multimedia interactive arts exhibition in Beijing, Mona Lisa can not only smile at you, but chat as well.
Yeah, and so it's actually kind of funny because, like, this Mona Lisa can actually speak fluent Chinese, right?
Yes.
And so you can go up to this thing and like, she'll ask you, like, are you married? Do you have a happy life? And she'll say stuff like, hello, everyone, I'm Mona Lisa, and it's nice to meet you. And so it's basically just kind of like a way to get people a little bit more interested in like the arts, especially like the classic pieces of art, like Mona Lisa, for example.
我们都知道 Mona Lisa 有非常神秘的微笑。那最近呢，在北京举办的多媒体互动艺术展上， Mona Lisa 可以和人说话，同时呢能够说非常流利的汉语，这主要是归功于多媒体技术的发展。 So there are 61 items on show at the high-tech exhibition. This is also the first exhibition to combine 3D and holographic technology as well as sound identification technology, attracting you to step into the world of art.
Yeah, yeah. And so speaking of which, even some paintings as well as sculptures have actually been brought to life, right? And so we're looking at like people who are acting as these sculptures and these paintings. It's like literally interactive and literally they are actually alive now. And so in my opinion, this is just a really, really good way to get people who don't know very much about it, or maybe who aren't very interested in it, to get them more interested in like these classic pieces of art, you know, mostly of course from Western art.
The organizer said, we want more and more people to know and understand the classical paintings and classical human culture heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, like, a lot of this stuff, like, it's really, really old. And I think especially for Chinese people, and, you know, like, a lot of people are very, very familiar with, you know, classical Chinese paintings and classical Chinese art, but maybe they're not so familiar with, you know, like, these classical pieces from Europe and from America. And I think, you know, both are quite important. And so, like, for someone to really be a global citizen, you know, you have to have knowledge and have experience with both sides of the classical art. And so this is one way of just kind of saying, well, you know, art doesn't have to be boring. Instead, it can actually be quite interesting.
Mm. So this exhibition, I think I really want to go to check out how Mona Lisa can chat with me.
No, it's one of those things, like, after reading about this, like, I really, really want to go.
Yeah, so the exhibition runs until November in Beijing and then moves to Hangzhou and Shanghai. So all of you listeners out there, you've got a chance to, you know, witness how Mona Lisa can speak Chinese.
Yeah. And so it's kind of funny because, of course, we're having, like, an Italian, right, speaking fluent Chinese. And so, like, I'm really curious to see how her accent is.
So excited. Okay, and for now, let's move on to today's biz news. 接下来呢，我们来听听今晚的财经资讯。 Brazilian economy to grow 3% to 4% in the fourth quarter. 四季度巴西经济将增长3%-4%。
Brazil will see a growth of 3-4% in its economy year on year in the fourth quarter of 2009, the Brazilian Development Bank chief said recently. The industrial sector, which shrank 3.1% in the first quarter, will recover from the effects of the global financial crisis and conclude this year with at least a 3% growth. The Federal Public Bank, linked to the country's Ministry of Development, has dispersed 122 billion reais, that's about 65.9 billion U.S. dollars, in the past 12 months. Adding the number may reach 135 billion reais by the year's end. Holding an optimistic view on Brazil's development, the bank chief said he believed that Brazil would register an expansion of about 5% next year, better than a 4% growth projected by the market. The government expected Brazil to grow 1% in the whole year. The projections were much more positive than those from the market, which predicted a 0.34% contraction in gross domestic product this year and a 3.8% expansion next year.
All right, and that was today's big news. Now let's move on to Studio Classroom.
Hi friends, welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Steve. We're so happy that you've joined us today to study English. Well, this month, Studio Classroom talks to Dennis Clark about hotels and hotel rankings. With more than 25 years in the hospitality industry, Clark has worked for some of the world's finest hotels. He is currently serving as the general manager of the Fairmont Olympic Hotel and has been awarded the American Hotel and Lodging Association's General Manager of the Year Award. We are asking Mr. Clark many questions, but ultimately, we want to know what makes a hotel great. Two key words you need to know for this portion of the lesson include ultimately, as in, ultimately, Megan can't decide until she has seen the report, and the noun, amenity. The resort offers lots of amenities to make visitors feel at home. Okay, this second day begins on line 8 on the right side of page 51.
Five Diamond Hotels. If you are booking a room in a different part of the world, how do you know you are really getting a quality hotel? Ultimately, it comes down to a rating system's guidelines as well as the overall preferences of the guest. If a traveler has found a particular rating system useful in the past, they should look for a hotel that meets the standards of that system. Ask your travel agent or contact the hotel directly. They should be able to provide you with a description of the rooms available and amenities provided by the hotel.
Hi, friends, and welcome. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Chip, and thanks for joining us for our second day in our Ask the Expert article this month. This month, we're asking Dennis Clark about hotels, and not just any hotels, but five diamond hotels. We're asking him to explain this ranking system of five diamond hotels.
And so we start off by asking him a question. We ask, if you are booking a room in a different part of the world, how do you know you are really getting a quality hotel? Now, this is something that I have run into before when I've wanted to go on vacation and you've never been to a place and you have to book a hotel. It really is hard to determine if you are getting a good hotel, even with pictures on the internet. Sometimes those can't always be trusted. So what is Dennis Clark's answer here? Does he help us out at all?
Well, first of all, he begins this sentence with ultimately. And when you begin a sentence with ultimately, you're saying that at last, in the end, at the end, what it all comes down to. So you might use this word in a sentence like, my team fought hard. They played a very good game, but ultimately they lost. In the end, they lost. And he says, ultimately, it comes down to a rating system's guidelines, as well as the overall preferences of the guest.
And there are some different ways that guests can determine if this is going to be a good quality hotel that they are booking. It says that if a traveler has found a particular rating system useful in the past, they should look for a hotel that meets the standards of that system. So maybe some people in the past have used the 5-star rating system, and they are familiar with that. They know that if they book a 5-star hotel, that's pretty good. Maybe now people can start using this 5-diamond ranking, or maybe even some of you.
Okay, so you might be able to use the same system that you've used in your travels before, or you can always ask your travel agent, or you can contact the hotel directly. And the travel agent or the hotel should be able to provide you with a description of some of the things that you'll find there. And these hotels have rooms, and they also have amenities. Now, what are these amenities, Chelsea?
Well, an amenity is really anything that makes life a little bit more pleasurable, maybe even a little bit easier. When we think about maybe hotel amenities, we are thinking about things maybe as small as a tube of toothpaste in the bathroom or a little bottle of shampoo, to things like food in the refrigerator, or even maybe a bottle of wine or some soda in the refrigerator. So it just depends on the hotel, but a lot of them like to make life a little bit easier for their guests, and so they provide them with some amenities.
Yeah, so I guess some amenities that are at a really nice hotel might be, like you said, a bottle of wine or maybe even a bathrobe or some slippers. That would be some really nice things that the hotel would do to make your stay there at that hotel a little nicer.
Well, I, for one, really like walking into a hotel and seeing that there are special amenities there for me. But let's back up for just a second. Something else I really like are travel agents. Now, a travel agent is a person who basically arranges your travel plans for you. If you're wanting to go on vacation somewhere, you can always get on the internet and book a hotel and book a plane and whatever else you need over the internet, but sometimes that can be a lot of work. So every once in a while, it's a little bit easier to have someone else, a travel agent, do it for you. Now, Chip, have you ever used a travel agent in your travel?
Well, absolutely. And actually, we have both used a travel agent. And it really is helpful because a travel agent often has a lot of experience traveling. And so a travel agent's opinion about a certain area or a certain hotel, in this case, can be very valuable in helping you make decisions about your trip.
And a travel agent can often find you some of the best prices, the least expensive prices. So that's maybe another reason to use a travel agent. Of course, the travel agent also needs to be paid for their services, so you will have to put out a little bit of money for that.
Okay, well, I don't mind giving a little bit extra money to a travel agent who's going to help our vacation experience be a little bit better, but Chelsea, it might be a little difficult to convince me to pay a lot of money for a five-diamond hotel. I don't know. It sounds really expensive.
I know. You really like to save money. And although we do stay in nice hotels, I think you might be opposed to a five-diamond hotel because I would imagine that five-diamond hotels are a little bit more expensive, if not much more expensive, than most other hotels. But that means they're very nice.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Well, if you know the right place to look, you can find a deal almost anywhere, and everyone loves a good deal, right? Travelers are getting savvier, and more of them are looking for deals on plane tickets and hotel rooms. Okay, the last question and the last response starts on line 5 of page 52. Please follow along as we continue with our lesson titled, Five Diamond Hotels.
Five Diamond Hotels. What's the best way to get a deal when you are booking? Most hotels in the United States have websites where you can learn about seasonal deals being offered. Some specials may offer discounts, while others may include exclusive amenities that make the room a better value for its price. Packages are also a great way to save money. They tend to unite a great room rate with either food and beverages or a cultural experience that is unique to that destination. These deals can give a guest an all-encompassing view of the city they are visiting.
Welcome back. So we're talking about five diamond hotels, and not just five diamond hotels, but also we're talking about traveling and trying to figure out what is going to be the best experience in our vacation, and how do we figure out what will be a good hotel to stay at when we're all the way across the world. And now we're going to ask Dennis Clark, what's the best way to get a deal, to get a good discount or a good deal when you are booking?
And we've already talked about a couple of options. We've mentioned that you can book your own stay through the internet maybe. And we've also mentioned a travel agent and having a travel agent help you. But Dennis is going to give us another answer here. He says, most hotels in the United States have websites where you can learn about seasonal deals being offered. Now, as you know, most companies, most organizations today have websites, and hotels are no different. So Dennis is suggesting that if you just go on to the website, you might be able to find a seasonal deal. Now, seasonal deals would be what?
Okay, well, that would be a deal that is only during a certain season or only during a certain time. So you might have certain deals in the summer that you wouldn't have in the winter or vice versa.
And there are definitely some seasons that will be a little bit less expensive to travel during than others. Now, Dennis Clark goes on to say, some specials may offer discounts. They may offer ways for you to save money, and they'll take money off the total amount that would normally be due. So discounts. And other specials may include exclusive amenities that make the room a better value for its price. Now, we see that word amenities again, and we've already talked about what an amenity is. But, Chip, what exactly would that word exclusive mean when referring to amenities?
Well, whenever we're using the word exclusive as an adjective, we're talking about that it's not given. It's not something that's given to everyone. So an exclusive opportunity is an opportunity that's not for everyone. It's only available to certain people. So here, when we're talking about exclusive amenities, we're probably talking about amenities that are only for people who are willing to pay for them, to pay a little extra.
So booking your trip through a website and looking for discounts or looking for exclusive amenities is a great way to book a good deal. But Dennis Clark also gives us another option. He says that packages are also a great way to save money. To buy a package deal might include something like not only your hotel, but maybe a rental car or maybe tickets to see a museum in that town or something. There's more than just staying at the hotel when we're talking about a package deal. It has other options available.
Yeah, it's when several options are combined or united into one. And Dennis Clark goes on to say that these packages tend to unite, bring into one, combined into one, a great room rate with either food and beverages or maybe with a cultural experience that is unique to that destination. So, now, Chelsea, I remember when we took a vacation down to Mexico, our hotel did certainly combine a good room rate with good food, and it also, we got to experience some cultural experience while we were there.
We did. We were able to do some really fun things in the community that we were staying in, including snorkeling and going out and looking at some ancient Mayan ruins, which you're learning about this month also. So package deals are a great way to give a guest an all-encompassing view of the city. Now, that word encompassing is an important one to know and understand, and it can actually have a couple of different meanings, but in this context, Chip, what are we talking about?
Well, to encompass something simply means to include. So here we're talking about all-encompassing, so we're talking about including everything. His plan encompassed every person in the company, so it included every person in the company. Here we're talking about an all-encompassing view of the city, which means that you can see the entire city, the whole city, with one view.
Now, I don't know about you, Chip, but this article has made me kind of want to book a trip to a place that has a five-diamond hotel. It sounds like they are very, very nice and that the service is just outstanding, and I'm sure that staying in a five-diamond hotel would maybe be an experience like none other, and it would give you a great opportunity to get out and see the city or the area that you're staying in.
Well, we hope this article took some of the mystery out of the hotel star system. Thanks again to Mr. Dennis Clark for his comments on this topic. So, and friends, all of us here at Studio Classroom Worldwide hope you have a five-star day. Bye-bye, everyone.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供，也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
Okay, and that was Studio Classroom. And as always, we appreciate all of our listeners for tuning in. Yeah, and thank you for continuing to listen to our show. We hope that you enjoyed our little chat this evening. And don't forget that if you have any questions or anything that you would like us to know, please email us at englishevening@cnr.cn. Also, if you happen to have missed any of our shows, please go to our website and you can listen to our show there. And our website is www.cnr.cn.
All right, time is up. Then I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
北京时间22:59，中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
Cookie 经济学，
欢迎来到 Cookie 经济学。今日茶点：天气期货 ，Weather Derivatives。1997年，美国芝加哥期货交易所推出了天气期货产品，交易者靠预测买卖未来的温度赚取差价。商品价格和天气息息相关，冬天冷，取暖燃料就会涨价；夏天凉，空调就卖不出去。天气期货可以帮助企业规避天气风险，有的企业还能从异常天气当中获利。
瑞士天梭表为您报时。 传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意。瑞士天梭表，时间任你穿梭。
北京时间23:00。
中央人民广播电台，经济之声
，China Business Radio。